provide instruction on how to celebrate, how to observe Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah occurs at the start of Tishrei, obviously. Here we are at sundown. Tishrei 1 started when God said to have created the world. So it's really the birthday of the world. People call it the New Year's, but it's really a birthday of all the world. The dating of the calendar, this starts today, starts 5780. You can count 5780 years back, 5,780 years back. And that was when God created everything. So when you see the Jewish calendar, it's not an arbitrary number. It's the years of the earth. And this is its birthday. Now, Mishnah teaches that there are actually four new years. And this can be confusing to a lot of people. And this concept is strange. But think of it this way. In America, well, we have January 1st, the new years. But then we also have the beginning of a school year. That's a new year. And businesses have financial years. That's a new year. And birthdays and anniversaries, they can be considered new years. So the idea of having multiple new years shouldn't be too strange to us to grasp. Now, so just real quickly, what are the four new years? Just so you have a background on it. Well, the month of Nisan is the year of kings. This was when they started counting how many years a king was the king. How many years was he in charge? How many years did he reign? Elul is the year of tithing cattle and animals. So every animal, when they say that the animal should be within its first year, any animal that was born from Elul to Elul was considered 1 year old. So that was the count for cattle tithing as well. At that time, you would tithe on your cattle, on your animals. Tishrei, the agricultural new year, it's the one that we're doing today. It's not only the agricultural new year, it's the day we flip the number. So we see that one very clearly today. And the 15th of Shabbat, known as Tish B'Av, is the new year for trees. So if you were tithing your fruit, that would be when you would tithe. If you were counting off the number of years of a new tree, that would be the year that you would count. It's not necessarily the year you put it into the ground. It's that number of years that day passed by. So it isn't really clear when Rosh Hashanah began to be celebrated as a holiday on its own right. Though clearly it was during the Second Temple. It said that we can be sure that it was written during this period because the books like the Book of Jubilees, the Book of the Maccabees, the Dead Sea Scrolls, they don't mention Rosh Hashanah at all. So it kind of gives us a benchmark of where it starts. All right, so that's a little history of Rosh Hashanah. And I ask myself sometimes, what would we Jewish people do without Rosh Hashanah? Because would we really go back and look at how we acted and what our behaviors were the previous year? Would we really take stock of our actions? Would we really look inwardly and see, were we acting correctly? Are there things that need to be changed within? If we didn't have this challenge set up by God, I doubt that most people would. I mean, we can see the world doesn't. Even when they do it on New Year's on January 1st, how quickly does it fall away? Yeah, I'm going to make this New Year's resolution, and 3 days later, that's about all it takes. But 3 days, maybe a week, it's gone. But for Jewish people, we have this very strong date on the calendar to take a look. And it serves as a wake-up call for each one of us. Regardless of where we are, we resolve to do better on this day. Regardless of how imperfect we are, and we all are that imperfect, we resolve to do better. It's required of us. And what else is required? It requires us to take that first step. Because you have to take that first step in order to improve yourself. We all know it can be very hard to take that first step. It's a challenge. And things, once you take that first step, it gets a little bit easier. But being that taking that first step can bring discomfort. It can just be hard to do. It can be scary, no doubt about it. So let me give you a couple of quotes about trying new things and the possibility of failure. King Solomon in Proverbs 24:16 says, "Though the righteous one may fall seven times, he will arise." So we're not destined to just stay on the ground. In Jewish thinking, a great person isn't one who never fails. It's the one who fails and keeps trying. You can only become a truly great person through the crucible of failure and perseverance. Doesn't that sound fun? The crucible of failure and perseverance. Okay, it's going to be hard, but you get through it. You just have to take those steps. Albert Einstein said, "It's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with the problem longer." He just stays with it, works it, learns from his mistakes, and moves on. Success is determined in great part by our ability to keep trying. Even when a task is difficult, persevering can help us succeed in the end. Just persevere. Just keep pushing on. So we hear the sound of the shofar, and it reminds us to look inward, to self-reflect. Maimonides wrote that the sound of the shofar is meant to, quote, "awake all who are asleep. Search your ways and mend them in repentance." So the shofar calls us and it reminds us to do this self-evaluation. That's why it's good to hear it. The question is, even when we do this self-evaluation, do we know our own heart? And I don't believe we can. I don't believe we do. I think we fool ourselves many times when we look and we ask ourselves, what's our condition? And that's just part of being human, part of being made of flesh. It's just the truth. And Proverbs tells us that a couple of times. Proverbs 21:2. "All a man's ways seem right to his own eyes, but Adonai weighs the heart." It can look right, but the heart isn't exactly where you're looking into sometimes. Proverbs 28:26 says, "Whoever trusts his own heart is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will escape." Making that decision on your own of what's going on in here can be very tricky. You have to depend on the Lord to tell you what your true heart attitude is. There's one way, and like I say, you have to depend on the Lord. Even King David cried out to Adonai to search him because he couldn't trust his own heart. He couldn't trust to see what was going on in there. Psalm 139:23-4 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any offensive way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He knew. He couldn't look within his own heart to see what was true going on in there. We need to do that same thing, to cry out to him. And Rosh Hashanah is that time that we look in. And Rosh Hashanah is that time that we look out as well, saying, God, look in with me. God, expose to me what's within my heart. Show me more than I can see on my own. It's the time for us to correct faults. Judaism didn't pick this date just because. It picked this date for a reason. Tradition states that there are three books that are opened this time of the year. The first book is for those who do good, the Book of Life. Opens it up, and those who are exemplary are written in it right away. The second book, the Book of Death, those who are just evil, written into it right away. And then there's a third book, and that book encompasses just about everybody in reality. And that's the book where you're neither this nor you're that. And you have 10 days until Yom Kippur. And in those 10 days, your name's going to go in one or the other book. At the end of those 10 days, that book is empty. And you're going to be either in the Book of Life or the Book of Death. So our Jewish brethren working very hard, trying to make sure which side they go to. They're working really hard to make sure they get into the Book of Life. They're doing their good deeds. They're doing their charity. They're doing their prayers, all to get into the Book of Life. I find that scary. As one who knows Messiah Yeshua as my Savior, it petrifies me to think that I wouldn't have a mediator. It petrifies me to think that I'm being judged on my own. But they're looking to change their life. Now, the thing about change is it can take some time. People are like large ships. You can decide to turn, but it takes a long time to turn a ship. If that wasn't the case, we wouldn't have the Titanic story. It takes time to change. It takes time to turn. Anyone who thinks that they can change just like that is only up for frustration. Now, I've heard stories where the Ruach changed someone just like that. It just doesn't happen very often. So don't count on it. Hope for it. Pray for it. But don't count on it. The good news is we don't have to worry about where we currently are. We don't have to worry about where we're starting. I saw a very encouraging thing on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. And it said, don't be afraid to start over. This time, you're not starting from scratch. You're starting from experience. And it's so true. Because every time you start over, every time you get up, you've learned something from what happened before. If that thing that happened was wonderful and you're starting in a new place, great. Instead of starting here, you're starting here. Wonderful. If that thing that happened was not so wonderful, okay. But you learned something from it. We all should learn from mistakes. So instead of starting here, you're still starting a little bit higher because you now know what not to do. You've still learned something. That experience still taught you something. So we shouldn't be afraid to start over. The first step, regardless of what you want to change, that first step is clearly seeing what state we're currently in. We have to know where we are in order to know what the next step is. James 1:22 says, "But the doer of the word and not hearers be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looks at himself and goes away, he immediately forgets what sort of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect Torah, the Torah that gives freedom, and continues in it, not becoming a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he shall be blessed in what he does." We need to be that person who looks at ourselves in a mirror, sees where we are, and then acts on it. Can't just go and say, "Yeah, I need to change that," turn around, walk away, and not do anything. We need to take that action. And we need to hear not just our own words of what we're seeing. We need to hear the Ruach HaKodesh's word to us of what we're seeing in the mirror. Because like we said earlier, we can look into our heart, but it doesn't mean we're seeing what truly is in our heart. What actions do we take? Well, we get a clue in Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52 starts off with, "Awake, awake, clothe yourself in your strength, clothe yourself in beautiful garments, Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean will never invade you again. Shake off the dust and arise. Be enthroned, Jerusalem. Loose the bonds off your neck, captive daughter of Zion. For thus says Adonai, you were sold for nothing, you will be redeemed without silver." Wake up to your condition. Put on strength. Loose the bonds that are on your neck. Now, verses 1 and 2 seem to say you should do that on your own. Put on your own strength. Put on those beautiful garments. But you have to include verse 3 into it as well. You will be redeemed without silver. The Lord is the one who's going to be doing the redeeming. He's the one who's going to show you the way. If you depend on your own ways, nothing's going to improve. If you depend on the strength of the Ruach HaKodesh, now you have some real strength to put on. Now you have those beautiful garments to put on. On your own, you do not have either one. We're encouraged to change, but we don't just change for the sake of change. We're encouraged to change so that we can be who we were designed to be in Messiah Yeshua and in Adonai. Rav Shaul tells us in Romans 12, "I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So we see two reasons to change here. Two reasons. The first is to be that sacrifice, that living sacrifice that's acceptable to God. And it says that spiritual service to Him. That's a real purpose there. The second is so that we can discern the will of God, the will of Adonai. Both require the renewing of our minds by the Ruach HaKodesh. Like it or not, believers or not, we were all created by Adonai. We all have a purpose. And that purpose is to be the service of Adonai, to be in the service of our Creator. You ever hear those who serve the president? It says, "I serve at the pleasure of the president." We serve at the pleasure of Adonai. It's totally by his love and mercy that we can do anything. Anything at all. I only breathe because of the pleasure of Adonai. If he says, stop breathing, I would have to stop breathing right now. It's only by his pleasure that I'm able to breathe. When people do look at themselves, very often they say, I can't change. I've been this way for so long, I just couldn't change. Ever hear that? I've been doing this for years. How can I? I've been saying this for years. How can I change? It's just the way I am. I'm telling you that if that's the way you think, you have wrong thinking. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do far beyond all that we ask or imagine, by means of his power that works in us, to him be the glory in the community of believers and in Messiah Yeshua, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We are not alone when we make the effort to change. Or at least, we don't have to be alone when we make the decision to change. The Ruach HaKodesh is with us. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. Now, what does that mean when we say that we can't change? What it really means is the Lord's not able to do it. It really means I don't have trust in God. It really means I can't do it and neither can he. That is quite a statement to say about Adonai. That is just amazing. Because Adonai says in Deuteronomy 31, Adonai, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Do not fear or be discouraged. That's the power of our God. That's the power of Adonai. He will not abandon us, and he will not fail. Think of the Israelites as they were coming out of Egypt. The pillar of fire by day, the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day, his power. The Israelites only needed to stand and watch as the Red Sea parted. Cross over and stand and watch as the Red Sea came back together to drown all of their enemy who was chasing after them. It's not necessary that we do it all. We just have to trust the one who can do it all. And it's not necessary to think that the Lord's going to move you from A to Z, just like that. He's going to move you from A to B and then let you rest and gain you strength. Then he's going to give you more strength. You're going to move from B to maybe D and gain your strength and let you rest. And then he's going to move you D to S. Eventually, you're going to get to your Z. Eventually, you're going to get your victory. And each one of those should be considered the victory. But that ultimate victory will come when you depend upon him. We just need to be reliant on Adonai. That's what we need to do. The world would tell us we have to do it all on your own. Pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. Pick up your pants and get on going. Don't depend on yourself. Depend on the one who's dependable. And while he's working on you, remember The fruits of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, include patience and self-control. Depend upon them. Pick them and eat of them. Know they're there for you. And when you're feeling a little antsy, I have self-control and I will have patience for the Lord to complete his work in me. Become reliant on Adonai. When we became believers, for those of us who are believers, it necessitated a change. We just had to change. We couldn't maintain who we were. Regardless of how good you were, there was a change that had to be made. And during this time of the year, we go through those self-diagnoses again. We have to go through that self-diagnostic check. Am I still where I'm supposed to be? Has anything crept in that needs to be changed? Did something crawl under the door that I should stomp on and kick back out? We need to go through those. We constantly have to improve. We constantly have to keep checking ourselves. We always have to look. Are we walking in faith? Are we walking in love? Are we walking in repentance? Are we studying Scripture? Are we praying? Are we avoiding temptation? Are we being patient? Not just with ourselves, but with others. Being flesh means that we're creatures of habit. I know me, and it's just so much easier to keep doing what I'm doing rather than looking to see what needs to be changed. But I have to push myself. And every once in a while, I have to take that hard look to see what it is that needs to be changed. And I have to call on the Ruach to speak it out to me. Some habits can be good. Some habits can be bad, but either way, it's hard. Now, here's the truth. A good habit takes effort. A good habit, you have to keep pushing at it. A bad habit creeps in without you even noticing it. That's why we need to keep looking. That's why we need to keep going through that self-diagnostic testing. Because unlike that good habit that you know you're pushing towards, you know the goal, that bad habit sneaks up behind you. And all of a sudden, it's attached to you. Where'd it come from? I didn't even notice it. But it's there. It's just part of being human. It's just part of being flesh. And we have a reason to change. Adonai should be a good enough reason to change. Scripture says in Ephesians 4, with respect to your former lifestyle, you are to lay aside the old self corrupted by its deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Lay aside your current lifestyles. There are many things we need to change. There are many things that when we came to be believers, we've changed. There are some things we've slipped back on. There are some things that maybe we didn't recognize as having to be changed when we became believers. But now we do this self-diagnostic and we say, whoa, I never noticed that before. That's not supposed to be within me. That's what this time is for. Do we have the good habits we're supposed to have? Are we reading Scripture? Are we studying? Are we attending service faithfully? Are we patient? Do we give? And then there are those things that we have to eliminate. Smoking, foul language, uncontrolled temper, gambling, gossip, pornography, sexual promiscuity, habits that are not easily changed. But it's up to us to take steps to accomplish these changes. Now, tomorrow at our 10 o'clock service, I'm going to go a little bit more into how to make these changes. I'm not going to leave it out there, just let you go home and try to figure it out. I don't have all the answers, though. Don't come back thinking you're going to get all the answers. But I'll have a few for you. So let's close this this message in a prayer. Adonai, thank you for your mercy and love. Thank you that you help us to recognize our own heart and the faults found in it. It's by your Ruach HaKodesh that we can see what's truly going on within us when our eyes cannot. During these days of awe, work within us. Help us that we may change so that we may please you. We thank you and we love you and we praise you and we honor you in all that we do. Amen and amen.